Hello, good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday. Welcome everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. I'd like to do a little bit of pranayama in the beginning, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the dantians and anything else that's important. So allow yourself to be relatively comfortable, but sitting somewhat erect, somewhat straight. And I'm going to show you, we're going to do a sequence of breathing and then just going to sit still for a moment. Hello, everybody. Namaste. So we're going to start with a cleansing breath, and you usually know the cleansing breath is breathing in and breathing out of your mouth, but there's a breath that is a bit more fine-tuned and through the pressure creates a bit more sophisticated cleansing, let's put it that way. And you're breathing in, and then you're basically making your mouth like a pinhole. You're basically putting your lips together and breathing out through the smallest hole in your mouth, like really small, and you will feel like you have to press a little bit. And so you try this out, and we're gonna maybe do like three of these breathings. Okay, let's start. You're gonna notice that the out-breath is very long because there's just a small space where air can come out. So you breathe in and then again out. Now allow yourself to see all that, whatever you need to breathe out, be it emotions, be it pain, be it etheric junk, whatever it is, worry, stress, whatever it is, just breathe it out through pinhole breathing. Good. When you do this on your, by yourself, you can do 8 of these breaths or as many as you need. Okay, so now we're going to, once you're done with that, I'll give you a moment. If you need some more time to really clear on your own, just a moment to just clear whatever else is still there. Okay, so now we want to breathe a full yogic breath, which means is we're literally filling all parts of the lungs. You breathe in, and what happens is that at the end, your belly expands. And then when you breathe out, belly goes in, and you squeeze out the air on top of the lungs again. Now, but we want to do it in a particular way where it's... where we're going to bring prana to all the bodies. It's really called occult breathing. Occult is hidden. So we're going to basically breathe. It's almost like we're filling a balloon and we're breathing into the aura. So you're expanding all around you. You're just filling your tummy, and but it's a sense of you breathing actually also behind you and all around you, and you're really expanding. So I'm going to just empty first. And then we're just going to slowly, slowly breathe in through the nose, filling the stomach, filling the belly, and then continue like, I know you can't fill the abdomen anymore, but you're beginning to have this feeling of expanding all around you, becoming like a big balloon. Keep breathing in, breathing in, breathing in this hidden way, very subtle. And then when you can't hold anymore, you breathe out very gently, as long as you can, breathing out. We're basically squeezing the balloon again and all the air comes out. Your whole aura just contracting and squeezing it out. And you breathe in again. And out. And do again, breathe in. Good. So what we're doing is we just feel for a moment how you feel. So what we're doing really is we're charging the bodies that we can't see, which are the occult bodies, right? Those that you can't see. All we can see is the physical body. And if you bring your attention to your dantian, your lower dantian, in the abdominal area, right in the center, you just bring your attention there. You do this in your meditation. You're resting your attention there. And you're concentrating on it to the exclusion of any other thought, just concentrating on that place. You are really working with the physical body. We know that's the physical portal, the physical body. That's really the power center of the physical body. This is where your life essence rests and is collected, during your gestation. That's what you build and you receive that energy, your life force to life essence to actually just live, to be, and to exist. So your physical body can actually exist and be alive. Now, if you come to your heart and you come to the middle dantian and just find that spot along the core line, just at the center, and just bring your attention there, concentrate on that place to the exclusion of anything else. Now that feels quite different, right? It's a different experience. And that center is pretty much the place of your prana, so the pranic center, the chi or chi center, and it's your life force that makes you move. It's the energy that makes you move. The lower energy gives you the essence to live, to exist. And the one in the center basically makes you move, just moving your arms and moving through life. If you feel very kind of like you just don't have any energy in your arms, you don't want to lift them, you just don't want to move, you know, you just want to sit, your life force is very low and stagnated. So So that is basically our energy body, right? So we have a physical body, we have an energy body. And now let's come up to the upper dantian, right in the center of the head, and just bring your attention there. And concentrate to the exclusion of anything else. So this also feels very different, right? So this is now your light body. This is where your light body is anchored, and it is what gives us awareness, light, intelligence. It's really what we think of as our spirit. So we can have now a very strong, light body, light awareness, lots of awareness or little awareness. There's very little awareness, it will be very dull, and it doesn't seem bright, you can't concentrate. If you are in your heart center and you can't concentrate easily there, then there is a stagnation or erratic energy going on. And if you go down into your lower dantian and it seems complicated there and you constantly start drifting, you can't concentrate, or you're restless, Your life essence needs to be built. You might feel very burnt out. You might not even feel that place, or not in the sense of feeling, but having an experience of a well-being. It's our being center. It's a well-being when we really have a good flow from inside, from the core itself, from your deepest, from who you are, from that, the self. The core itself, think of it as like that luminous God channel inside you, and it opens then into the lower dantian, it opens into the middle dantian, and it opens into the upper dantian, those three portals. So for a moment, allow yourself to bring attention to the center of the head, and at the same time, to the center of abdomen. Hold them both at the same time. We're in this big polarity of matter and spirit. And I'm going to bring the heart center into it as well. Hold all three at the same time. And just as you're holding those three at the same time, just let go and slip away into the source itself. Now, if you find that your mind gets busy again, then bring your attention again to one of the portals. wherever it feels right, either go back to the center of the head and concentrate there. Maybe it has to be in the lower abdomen and concentrate there. I'd like you to be able to, at will, slip into time and space and be in the portals in the Dantians, and then also let go at will and just exist as who you truly are. Go in and out from the absolute into your first three points. Try that a little bit. Go in, disappear into that samadhi state, and then come back out into one of the portals, which is still very, very deep. Most people aren't even able to hold awareness and consciousness for a lengthy period of time, or don't even know what that is and where it is. Okay, so I'd like to say a few words about what we're doing here. Really, is it's all part of yoga, right? Yoga is really about becoming conscious and at will improving and mastering what we are, our faculties and our senses, our body, improving things and being in charge of it. And I'd like to say a few words about good and evil in that sense, because there is, you know, from a very strict perspective of, let's say, faith, of people of faith, that doing something like that is builds ego, and it's like we are making ourselves enlightened, or we are the ones that are the ones that make us enlightened, how we can advance and all that. Well, you know, if we learn to walk and talk as children, and then we learn later other skills in life, or even the skill to read or be able to drive a car, we're all improving our skills. And if we are thinking that it's just all what we do because we're so amazing, we're the ones that are in charge of this, then that could be looked at as evil as well. So, and the same thing is with yoga, and the practice of becoming enlightened is to have an underlying understanding and an underlying opening to the fact that all this is taking place because of God's source making it so. Because there's nothing other than that. And we are basically an expression of that through which the source of God plays through and experiences him, herself, itself, whatever you want to say. And it is basically just simple as that. So with everything is that on the journey to enlightenment, we remain humble and we do allow ourselves to be reminded of the fact that this is all happening by grace. And the more we actually become or live in samadhi, we learn that, we become aware that we are not really doing anything. It is just all happening, and it is all just, it's hard to explain, but this is a natural process. But we can make it difficult by owning, you know, and putting too much ego into it. So it's really this fine balance, like with everything in life. So with that said, I'm going to turn to my panel here. And I'm just going to unmute Shelly. Shelly. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, Ratima. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
I was wondering if we could sit. I shared with you a little bit of what was going on. I literally went from being in probably one of the best spots I've been in to a long time to one of the worst spots I've been in the last 3 days. And I don't know how to describe it except to say that I felt like I was in a dryer just spinning. I had to use literally every tool, every technique. And finally, I literally could not get into the heart, into the core. But yet at the same time, I felt that I was like so aware. I don't know how to describe the sensation of what was happening. I had crazy stuff going on, attacked in my dreams. I shared some of this with you, and I won't bore everyone. Much, much better today. And I even tried doing, like in the healing course, when you went in, you know, to the connecting through the heart into the soul, could not even get there. And finally, I just kept hearing, don't care, just don't care. Sit there and move through it. And finally, like I said, by about last night, things started to lessen and much better. But it was probably the most amount of fear that I think I have experienced in I can't even tell you how many years. Some of it was mine. And a lot of it was the collective. It didn't matter. The bottom line was it didn't matter what I did. It was almost like I was hyper alert. Like I was, I can't even put into words what I was experiencing. Seriously, I don't know how to describe it.
You know that when you heard don't care, because that is the key. You're being trained to not desire a better state.
Yeah, it was the resistance.
Yeah, because when I was in these places, I would tell myself, okay, it's going to be like this forever. Let's just settle into it. So I would talk myself into it so that I would just fight the resistance. I wanted to feel better. But we have to learn, we get tested if we can actually just see this as divine. And that's just the way it is. How surrendered are we? Now, regarding this awareness, you know, fear is vata. Vata is fear, right? And at the same time, it's also hyper alert. So as you're cleansing things deeper out, you're going to have this very real experience of vata. And it really even manifested for you what you've described to me. It can actually, because it's an element of air and space, it can actually affect the world around us, because we're made out of these elements, as we spoke about. So this is this is really, really good. Did you notice, because when stuff like that happens, when it gets really crazy, then we look at well, is my skin less dry? Is my digestion better? That's a sign that, this energy of vata, like this air space which causes fear and movement, is actually being expelled, and I'm right in that expulsion right now.
One of the things that I'd been experiencing, I do have the extreme severe dryness, and like I told you, I'm going into a vata detox, but the stomach, I was so bloated. I literally look like if you could be more than 9 months pregnant, that's about what I look like. I have never been so uncomfortable, and that has all led up. And yes, there were changes. I could definitely feel shifts. And I will say, at one point, I was able, quite a few times, I was able to go into the tantric and literally just go into the fear and move through it. But it was like wave after wave after wave. In all of that, I could even deal with the discomfort. It was like, I think the thing that bothered me the most, I got to the point where I didn't even want to go to sleep because the dreams were so vivid. And I even remember being in a couple of these dreams. Like I heard one at one point, I heard a voice coming in saying, you're supposed to go get vaxxed. And I remember saying, I'm not listening to you. And it was all about spiders coming in and attacking and just, you know how I feel about spiders. I've had this for a long time. And it was attacks like you could not believe. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to sleep.
So it sounds like fine. Well, spiders are literally, they're like entities created. They're like they're portals. Mm-hmm. I had them visit me when I was 4.5 years old. I would say they about the size of my hand. And my and my dad came in and said, that's a spider. And look, it was not there. And I would see them. I would see them. I was totally awake. So we, you know what?
I did that all the time. Yeah, I did that as a child all the time. My mom would come in and say they're not there, and I'm like, it's right there.
Yeah, you could see them exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in a long time, but yeah, they're probably. Who knows? Maybe there's some left, and they're just portals and spies and all that. I find they spy. They kind of watch and. And all that stuff, but anyway, so yeah, there's been there's a few things going on here with you. Just to suggest, you probably are taking Trifala, right? Are you?
Yeah, I take it every night.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, let's sit here for a moment and see what else needs to happen. You know, there's nothing really wrong. It's your Saturn energy is really grounding you and pulling you very strongly, and it's Saturn is Vata in itself. So I think you're just having. Are you doing a little bit of Saturn mantra right now?
No, but I will. What I was doing, what I told you, was trying to take both the dark side and the light side of Saturn and literally just merging it.
Right. I remember.
That's what I've been working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what you're doing. You're trying to really get out of this identification that's wired into the body that you are matter and with everything else that's going on right now. So no wonder this is not easy, but I know you can do it and you're designed to do it.
You have no idea. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay. I have Devi here. Hi, Devi.
Hi, Ratima. I want to share a little bit before I sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of similar with Sally. I feel like I have been dreaming a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really tired. Besides doing my practice, I really didn't really want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like I get attacked at dream. Like one day I woke up, all of a sudden I just feel a lot of pain on my right neck and hip. And So I use all the tools I learned from the healing school, but it relieved for a little bit and then it came back. But I just reached a point that, like, you know what, I can live with this pain. I just stopped doing anything. I know I'm going through the like inward cycle, but I have a lot of resistance to it. I could feel it.
Go ahead.
I want to use this time to do more practice, but at the same time, I feel like I'm really burnt out to do more. Like the feeling of like not doing enough make me don't want to do more.
Well, you're going into an invert cycle, right? So you're in a dissolution rebirth process right now. So when you're in that kind of place, it's like there's a, you know, doing spiritual practice is an active thing instead of, you know, it's like a polarity. We can do bad things to ourselves, we can do good things to ourselves. So we do spiritual practice instead of doing bad things or just dwelling. But you're in a already, your spiritual practice has triggered you into this dissolution process. So it's actually a fruit of your spiritual practice. So you go with that. It's like you're surfing it now. You just, all you do is surf it. You pay attention, stay on the board, but you don't have to do anything else right now. You're already on the wave inwards. And all you need to do is to notice your resistances or things. So just be with it. Let the breath, because when you go into an inward cycle, you will find that your breath sometimes is also different. It just suspends often, or you just breathe more shallow and you go inward. Do you have some of that going on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you can just gently, if you have pain in the body, yeah, I mean, you can gently stretch or something that, but be in a place where you are more surrendered now, not so active. So don't think, oh, I have to do all the spiritual practice. No, you're in a place now where you are giving yourself over to source. It's a beautiful place, very yin, very feminine. There's a learning in that. And as you let that, because you have a lot of strong masculine energy, so you're learning that right now. And so on the cellular level, even, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I sit with you?
Yeah. You're in a beautiful place right now, so it's really wonderful. Can you sense that?
No.
Well, you look deeper. Look who you are. Not what you look. Don't look on the surface. Just you as consciousness. Go just be as consciousness. Just get a sense of the quality of your consciousness right now.
When you point that out, I have a sense of like expansion and like happiness.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're very happy, expanded. And there's a lot of grace coming in, actually. You're held by grace right now. And that's what happens when we are in a death process, like even in the physical death process, but even in this like, death of consciousness when we go through these cycles. You're right now, that's what I'm saying, just surrender to that. You're being held and you're it's very beautiful. It's very, very special. So just enjoy that.
Thank
yeah,
you.
You're welcome. Okay. Very good. So this is Antonia. Hi, Antonia.
Hello, Ratima.
Hello.
I want to sit with you, but also, but first I want to share an experience I had yesterday, and I would love to hear, you know, what do you think of it? I attended a funeral of a person that died from the vaccine, and very fast, it went really fast, and I realized after I was there that I haven't attended to funeral probably since I've been doing this work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Been a long time. And
yeah.
While I was in the funeral, Aratima, I was feeling like I was choking. Like I didn't have enough air. I had to leave that place like really fast. I didn't even finish being in there. I got out of there and I came home and I was freezing. I had to put socks on and sweaters and I was just freezing and I could not get comfortable. And I was in bed by 7 o'clock at night.
Why did you bring something home? Who came with you?
Is that what happened? Is that what happened at Atima?
Yeah, I don't go into. I remember my teacher said I never go on to cemeteries, for example, or you know places because they come home with all these, you know, because they love the light, right? So
my goodness. Okay.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously something.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to come with me?
Yeah. How do you feel now?
Well, this morning I was still tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some breaths, you know, and I'm so glad you did this at the beginning because that really, really helped me feel like more in my core and stuff. But my energy is still very low.
Yeah.
My energy is still not there. So,
right.
Yeah. So that means I will not attend in funerals anymore.
Well, you can, but you just have to be very, very vigilant and you have to be very clear when you go there. So first of all, just try right now on your own. I'm not going to do it for you. Shri Gurudev Datta. You know that one, right? Shri Gurudev Datta. Say it a few times and see if something is moving away or feeling better. Are you noticing something changing or moving?
I just got really hot.
You got hot, right? I can feel your cold now. You got hot. Yeah. Okay. So keep doing that. And also right now, just command, you know, that nobody has the right to be with you and send them all to the lights. Just no, exit my aura, exit my field, you know, leave, you know, whatever. She can say it silently or loud, whatever. There you go. Like I saw the being actually. It was a man with a big belly, probably. Yeah. Overweight.
Oh my goodness!
Man.
And I was sitting right next to one.
Oh really?
A big man with a big belly.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh well, then he attached himself as well to you. Oh wow. There you go.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So, and you know, like, okay, so let's talk about this for a moment because that's just part of our lives. As we become more luminous, then we basically are also liked and hated, you know, both, right? This is the polarity. So we just become more conscious and we basically check, you do your 360 scan, you just check how you feel, like, you know, like, do I feel drained? Do I feel drained? These are all your little signs. And that's okay. You got the tools to re-put yourself back together, you know, within minutes. So.
Okay. I'll do that. I just never attended, you know, in those whole times. So that was quite of an experience yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Was this person an older person that died or younger?
He was, no, well, he was a very healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
Active, always doing something physical, very healthy person, and choose to have the vaccine.
Yeah.
And he was gone so fast. So everybody was like in shock of it.
Yeah.
That he died so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge funeral. I was even in shock because knowing that he was so healthy. But
Do you want to ask yourself, is this particular person that's died, yeah? Is that seeking, is it attached to you or seeking your help in some way? Just ask yourself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it was more like in the congregation, mm-hmm. in the group. I feel like it was more, you know, in there, even though it was in a church.
Good. Okay, so you check on that. Good. Yeah, it's perfect. Because, you know, we want to think about these things, you know, this was probably very shocking for this very healthy man. Maybe he's, the soul is like, whoa, you know, got propelled out of it and is maybe, you know, trying to seek help, you know, whatever. So, okay. All right. Okay. Do you want to sit for a moment?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. Yeah, so just do a little bit of fire breath as well. Just a little bit of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and just get your energy back. Good. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Antonia. Oh, this is Sally. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Arasima.
Hi.
I would just like to sit with you.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Nice, Lily.
Thank you. Is there anything that you can...
I noticed your heart energy is stronger, so I don't know if you've done something different or...
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I've been doing a little more pranayama and a lot more physical exercise. Maybe that's why.
Good. Yeah, it's good. Something helps you to, like we spoke about, right? It's the chi center, the prana center. So your life force, you have more life force. When you work out, you have more life force too. And so it's good. It helps you. It's like, can you feel that? You feel more content? Can you tell?
I have felt stronger lately, but also I've had a lot of things happening that make me feel like maybe I've been exposed to people who got the vaccine and it caused some problem to me because there have been some physical issues that have been scary, like
Well, you probably know how to take certain things that we know about to feel better, so. Yeah, but otherwise, your prana is strong, so your heart center is pretty good. So make sure your lower dan qian is also in good condition, and then you'll be fine.
Oh, okay, thanks. Because, I tend to get ungrounded very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But today when we did the meditation, I really felt a weight in my lower dan qian, which, usually I don't.
Oh, that's good.
I think I concentrated on it, and it just seemed to, like, it was like a weight that just sunk there, you know?
Good. Oh, no, good. Then you were literally grounded in that moment. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. This is Linda in Vancouver Island. Hi.
Oh, hey. Hello, Arasima. Thank you for another... such an appropriate call.
Okay.
Because the last couple of days have been really interesting. So yesterday I had this, I think it was yesterday, I can't even keep track of time. I had this image of Kali swallowing the earth. And then ever since then, I've had some really kind of interesting experiences. So this morning I had an interesting experience, and I thought, well, I was just going to ask you about it, but, you know, you automatically addressed it with the breathing and sort of like it had to do with the, I think you called it occult bodies.
Occult breathing, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my question is, when we were to bring it into our hara and fill out like a balloon, the only way I could fill out the balloon was to go in the space of silence, and in that silence, that's the only place that I could breathe. I know it sounds kind of weird. How can you breathe if you're not?
No, that's right.
And fill up my aura. That was
that's
the only
right.
way I could do it.
Yes, exactly. Oh. But you're not just making the hara point down there expand. It's your whole field. Yeah, it's not just that point down there.
Oh, I was focusing there just so that I could push out my belly.
I see. Okay.
You know, when you were saying, okay, because I have a tendency to be a shallow, like,
yes.
you know,
okay.
just leave it in my chest. So it was like,
I get it. Yes.
Tried to do all of that. So that
yes.
was that question. And the other part with all these different, feeling all these different bodies and things, then I went into my third eye and I got back to that sesame seed, but it was really, just really condensed. And then I go, well, I can't even see any light or anything. Like, so I guess what I'm asking is, I don't know if I'm sort of in a disillusionment or if there's some kind of correction that I need to make there.
You mean like in the third eye, there was no light when you were being there?
Well, all of a sudden it was like attention to that sesame. Like everything is in the sesame seed, but it was so intense, so concentrated that I thought, oh, I don't know if there's something that's not supposed to be there in my third eye, or I'm just, you know, it was.
Can you
sort
say
of
more
like,
about the sesame seed? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's like, it was so, it's like everything, like that, you know, literally the sesame seed, how tiny it is.
Yes.
And it's like that tiny, and it was really dense. And I just knew that it held everything, but I didn't know what that was because I couldn't move it into the light. Like I couldn't.
Well, that's interesting. The funny thing is Jennifer was posting somewhere about the faith of a mustard seed, right? So something very, very condensed. It's like it's potential, right? Something.
Oh.
Go there. Do you want to go there right now?
Okay, I'll try.
Okay. Okay, you're there right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so when you're there, I do see light. And, but it is sort of that kind of light that is not blasting out, it's just potential. So allow yourself to penetrate into the sesame seed, because right now you're having an experience of a form, something we can talk about. But you want to find out, where did this come from? What's the source of it?
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Ooh.
What happened?
I was totally outside of myself, like personality self.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was kind of like the core line, only I was going
mm-hmm.
through a core line.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an explosion of light, but just sort of in a tunnel.
Yeah, so it's like your cosmic self, right? So the cosmic self is still something, somebody.
Hmm.
Do we want to go further? Because we don't want to find out who are you really.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, so you're in a tunnel. It's another experience, right? So you're going to
mm-hmm.
look into who's having that experience. So the tunnel's still there, or what's going on?
Well, I found myself looking at myself, and then I found myself sort of dropping into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this, mm-hmm. and that was that.
That's good. Good. Okay.
And okay. So I thought, well, I don't want to move out of that. And then I thought, well, as soon as I look or search for words or something, then it kind of took me out of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Exactly. Because in that moment, when you say, I don't want to move out of it, then there's the eye still there. And the eye is also one that looks for words. But so, yeah, you basically.
Oh, very good.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Rotimer. That is so. That really landed for me. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah, again, I think you leave it at that. You understand. So that's good.
Thank you so much. Oh, man. Well,
yes.
I guess we sat.
We did, I guess we did.
I just have one quick question. Because,
yeah.
So when you were working with or just talking with Antonia, I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't go looking.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of anything of myself looking. I was just sort of sitting in that presence, but I could feel this entity thing coming towards me, and I go, well, what is that? And I just sort of commanded it to leave. So my question is,
mm-hmm.
How do you keep yourself? I wasn't interested. It's unfortunate that I'm so visual that maybe that's what brought it on, that I saw, you know, the ceremony and, you know, and is
mm-hmm.
that how I just turn that off and that's how you keep it clean?
Yes, you don't. Exactly. That's one way. Exactly. And I do that as well because, yeah. You just basically don't look. I on purpose don't look at certain things. People say, like, did
mm-hmm.
you know what's going on there? I'm like, I don't want to look because then I'm engaging and touching it, right? Awareness touches.
Right. And
it's the
and
lightest.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is the lightest touch. Now, I want to say something else, and you can hold your question, is that, you know, when you needed to learn to drive a car, you had to kind of really think about everything. You didn't even know what the buttons were, that sense of overwhelm and you're unconscious and all this. And then slowly you kind of know these things and it becomes automatic. You can eat,
mm-hmm.
talk and be on the phone, all that, and drive. You see, this will all become bare as you basically become more conscious of ourselves and we learn about our, let's call the word, occult bodies, the bodies that are invisible and how we, and what we need to become very masterful with them. Then it's, and we have these experiences like, oh, there's this entity coming, or this is attached to me, or whatever. And you just have this free will choice to say, no, I don't want that. You learn how not to do it, or some form of how not to do it. And at some point, it becomes automatic. These things don't come to you anymore because you're driving it automatically. It becomes very automatic. It's not like, oh my God, the more conscious I am, the more I have to do. No, it's not like that. It's in the beginning. But it won't be like that forever.
Oh, that's
it's a relief, isn't it?
and it's
let me say something more to that. And then I know that women might not feel comfortable with this, but you probably know I can be very sweet, but I can also be very fierce. And so I can enter a room and with a certain attitude that most people might think I'm arrogant or like I don't care. And because when you have a lot of power and a lot, you're on a hold. It's like a teacher comes from the school and the children have to be quiet. You have to have a certain, you're a teacher, right? You have a certain aura about it, an air. And so I invite everybody, especially the women, to try to be always very nice. You have to have an air about you where these forces don't dare coming to you and they respect you because we're really here to be the masters on this planet. Like not in that sense that we submit the planet, but the forces need to be listening to us, the elements, and not the elements tricking us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. I mean, and that's what, and that I took that commanding tone, leave now, like
yeah.
shut down. So yeah, all of this has been
yeah, and you become
very,
more
very helpful.
Yeah, and you become more and more authoritative on the subtle levels automatically, like, you know, like you drive a car, and then people and certain beings, they wouldn't dare. They just sit there maybe and look maybe.
And I find that sometimes I need to be really authoritative, it's like my focus becomes like a laser light. It's like, that's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, that's very pitta, right? It's a fire. You have a lot of, it's a part of your deeper nature, right? You have a fiery nature, right? So it's very passionate. And so this is your tools, one of Durga's tools. Durga has lots of tools, right?
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Thank you, Aratima, for everything.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good. Okay, this is Mari. Hi, Mari. Hi.
Hello, Aratima. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
I'm glad. I have been doing the exercises to do with the anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you see, that I've always had a problem with anger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I feel I need to be angry, and there are things that I should be angry at, I run away, because there is that little girl who kind of let herself down on the call last time.
Mm-hmm.
She would just burst into tears and dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's almost like I needed to learn how to be fierce. As you said, you can be fierce and to be angry and say, this can't happen, or don't do that. Or part of me felt I had no right to do that, or there was something about anger that I couldn't deal with. So but I've got into this place now. I have got myself in a place because of that, and because I was afraid of upsetting people all of my life. I'm stuck in a place here that I don't really want to be, with all I have is a daughter and two granddaughters. I'm just allowed to see them three evenings a week, where I buy food and cook for them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this feeling of not caring, I got a message this morning, girls aren't here tonight, so you know, I wouldn't be needed to make dinner. But, you know, I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
There's something.
Are you more at peace? So something is more accepting? Are you more at peace with what is?
You know, it's almost, you know, I've tortured myself by worrying and caring, afraid to upset people, actually giving away my fortune, almost. I'm in this place, and it's almost like I have no other option but to be at peace.
That's right. That's very wise. There's no other option. So it's true. Your life has given you, or you've experienced a tremendous amount of difficulties that rush you into like realizing, wow, you know, peace is really the place to be okay with all of that, to be at peace with all this, with everything.
But I don't sleep at night. And I keep myself busy all day. Book early yoga classes every day. Go to mass on a Sunday because I don't have a yoga class. I go to an early mass just to be desperate.
Okay, so if you're doing all this busyness, then you're not fully at peace. You want to actually, because if you keep yourself busy, 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 then you can't shut down. There is a yin and a yang to the day. So see if you can go a little deeper with this being at peace, where right now you're in a place of more accepting and not worrying so much and not caring so much, but maybe come to a place of deeper acceptance to truly say what's happening is good. This is all good. I can't see it. I don't know why it's good, but I know it's good because I trust the Creator. It's good. It's good, but I don't have the wisdom to see it yet, and pray for wisdom if you want, or just accept it as is. Do you think you can go deeper?
Well, I'll try for that. Part of me feels, how can you not care? You need to care. You must care.
No, you don't. That's the problem. no, Mara, you don't. That's a human quality. Yes, as a human, yes, you care. But we don't care when we become, because God takes care of everything. There's nothing but God. We're learning here that there's nothing but the Creator. And the caring keeps us in duality. And when you're in duality, you will be submitted to life and death and to suffering. When you're experiencing it, you are suffering. So you have to pull yourself out of the duality by coming truly to not be in pieces, but to be at peace. In duality, we're in pieces. We're this, we're the mother of this, the sister of that, and this and that, and blah, blah. But when we're at peace and we're whole, back as consciousness, the light isn't caring about the light. The light is. Consciousness is. Love is. Existence is. Mari is. You feel
Thank
that.
You for that. Yeah. I work so hard at being to be spiritual, to be caring, to be capable, to help everybody.
That's saint training. Well, I don't do saint training.
There's times I tell myself that, Mari, just calm down. You are a saint. I bring humor into it. You are a saint. You just relax with it. Thank you for that.
It's too difficult to do saint training. I mean, I would fail at that. I just need to be free. And that's all. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Are you cutting out? Thanks, Mari. Thank you. I have Sandra here. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Ratama.
Hi.
I have been working with the three seed sounds mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And, I recall when you were explaining it, you spoke about it in terms of one thing that I recall is you talked about it being helpful with regard to a proper way to manifest. I'm wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, the I, me, and clean are, they relate to the threefold forces of creation, of, nourishing, retaining, and then dissolving. And everything in our body is going through that cycle all the time, every cell and everything. Like even our breath, it comes in, stays, and goes out. So, and it becomes a balanced movement, and if, you know, and when we are not too heavy on one or the other, you know? So in that sense, it has to do with manifesting. Did I answer that correctly?
Yeah. What I was wondering is, would you suggest perhaps focusing, well, this is what's coming into my awareness. I've been experiencing fear just around kind of uncertainty and just that sort of thing. Would you think it would be helpful to, if a fear is coming up, like chant cling into it to support the dissolution of fear? Or would you have another?
No, you use all three of them together. You do what you can chant Ein, Hien, Klien. And you can actually Ein, Hien, Klien, Ein, Hien, Klien. And I think I have them in certain sequences, right? Seven times and all.
Yeah.
Seven times, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is you're basically moving all your chakras properly back into proper movement and aligning yourself again with Om, source of all there is. So because, the anxiety or the fear or whatever that is, it's just some, you know, it's an imbalance of energy, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, this is, let's see here, Vainona? No, this is Katya. Katya?
Hi, Raisana.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you something that I've asked you several times, but obviously everybody keeps coming back, so that's what I'm going to ask you again. I was wondering if you can recommend a tool or maybe practice that may help me with this. Every time I have periods, I can't sleep or like sleep for 2 to 3 hours. I seem to be functioning okay the next day. I might just have sore eyes, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm completely drained of energy, but it would be nice. Like, not that I'm caring about it, or not that I'm really trying to figure out what's happening, but at the same time, because it happens on a regular basis, it's still noticeable. And at night, I would sweat and would wake up because I'm full of sweat and everything, and it only happens during periods or just before the period.
Yeah, no, I understand. And it can get worse during menopause as well, because, you know, what's happening is, I can explain to you why this is happening. It's because the when you have your period, you go from you have apana, energies flowing out downwards. But before that had happened, there's a build-up, because you're building literally uterus running. There's a creation process going on, and the energy moves up and up and up and up. And and then when you have your period, it slows down, and you have to really, you can relax downward and go sleep again, because you're releasing. Now, when it's building up the energy, there has to be sort of a digestion going on, a digesting of these energies. And if they're not being digested, because there's blockages, you're not becoming aware, then you are up at night. You're literally up, because you're supposed to become conscious. And it's all the stuff going on, and you can't sleep. And that's what menopause is all about, right? It doesn't go down anymore, just only goes up. So that's why it's kind of stressful, and you have all these hot flashes. So first of all, you can, of course, always listen to any of the hormone packages that I have, so just kind of work on the hormones directly. But the hormones are an expression of your emotional state. So what drives the emotion, the hormones, is the emotions. So I would say you will have to kind of really open the heart more, go deeper into it. Just work with the middle and the upper dantian a lot, and just so that you feel the energies moving up. You can try the yogi dance. Do you remember we did that in the first retreat and the second? You can allow for the spinning and all that, and opening up the channel to the movement, to get BCK, so that the energies are, don't do it too hard, just do it gently, and so that you get a bit of flow, that the energies can flow up, and they need to come out like a fountain out of your head from the top. The energies need to flow up, and if they flow up properly, you'll be able to sleep. But if they get congested somewhere, then you can't. Yeah.
Okay, so if I wake up at night, shall I do just chanting in the heart area? Would that be helpful?
Okay, so you want to do the yogi dance not during the night, but let's say you wake up at night. One of the things I'm going to do, by the way, is for this next module, is I'm going to record an organ cleansing and organ charging MP3. And so you will hear sounds in it that cleanses the organs, because the organs hold emotions, and they're usually congested with stuff. So you can do this. So if you can wait, I don't know, because I'm going to be, it's already 23, so it's about a week or something. So it'll be in the next module. You'll have that. You can actually use that and learn that. And you can actually get up and just release through sounds the different organs. And then you can go back to sleep and you feel more clear. You can try that as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can wait for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay. This is 44793. Is this Anya or is this Nadia?
Hi, Vatima. This is Anya.
Anya. Okay.
I've got two questions, and I would like to start with you, please. So for the last month and a half, I've been feeling really bad, like really a lot of emotions, sadness, almost depression, like no hope, like really strong, like that it's not normal for me. So I was thinking maybe hormones, maybe planets, maybe this, maybe that. And then yesterday I heard someone sharing about them being affected by the cord from a person that they really cared about who got the vax. And it got occurred to me that that's what could have happened with me, because my sister done it. And obviously I'm connected to her quite strongly. So they were saying like the consciousness of the vax, it can attack other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an AI, right? It's an RNA. The whole spike protein is a mix of an organic virus and an inorganic. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was checking with myself and I was thinking, like, I was getting that that's what has happened to me. And but, you know, I could be biased. So what is your advice? What's the best way to stop that?
Well, if you want to become enlightened, you want to be free, you don't want to have any connection to anybody. You want to be resting in unconditional love, which is not a connection. It is you and your sister being in love as love. Everything is love. So that would be the best. I mean, that's any healing should be based on that too. We want to really just be at love or in love with everything. So you remove all the strings and connections and remove just the fact that she's a sister. And that in itself is a story because remember, when you are Anya and you have a story, you will have suffering. It's just part of the deal. You can't escape it. So you can choose to cope with it and just make it better for a while, but it'll flip over into some other problem at some point. Mm-hmm. So better to just release all that, the desire to, you know, have a sister, not have a sister, desire to be attached, whatever. You can do all kinds of things. You know, you have a whole toolbox to basically get rid of that. You might even scan yourself if that's easier and you see the cords and the wound like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also then command that anything else, you know, I mean, we can do this right now here. It's more of a healing process, but it's just like we can just command right here, right now, that we have nothing to do with this kind of reality that some people participate in. We're not participating with it. I'm not. I remember I was feeling them very strongly, but now I actually don't even notice it at all. And mm-hmm. It's almost like I outgrew it. I did a lot of practice and physical cleanse and all kinds of stuff, and to just not deal with it. And I also take every day a teaspoon of black cumin seed with honey, which is my magic formula for me.
Okay, it works for you. Yeah, as you were talking about it, I just felt like my heart felt so heavy and some darkness. So I guess that's the point of connection. Yeah, I would work on that.
Yeah, it
came to my awareness as we were talking. Yeah.
Good. Okay, that you found it. Good. Mm-hmm.
And my second question is, as we were doing the meditation at the very beginning of the class, actually, I felt very beautiful energy in my heart. It was almost erotic,
mm-hmm.
like vibration, like some kind of bliss.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that, please?
Well, do you remember a long time ago, a few years ago, I said to you, you have a strong Lalita energy. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So, and the Lalita energy is a dissolution energy, right? She's paired with Shiva. Mm-hmm. So naturally, your tendency will be to dissolve, to let go, and to destroy. Although you might not think of yourself in that way, but what you do, you're a healer, right? You're a naturopath. So you're doing that anyway all the time. So, but it's done not in a Durga way, but in a Lalita way, which is very, very sexy, we could say, right? It's a ecstatic dance. There's an ecstasy of pleasure in that you can actually tap into. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so interesting because in Jin keys I have this ecstatic key. Oh my gosh! Okay.
I know. I can feel it. Do you dance at all? Do you swirl and dance? Lalita loves that.
I don't dance, but funny enough, for the last 2 months, I've been thinking I need to start dancing, and I feel so clumsy because I've been thinking like. Need to do that for my exercise, like, wow.
But you know, Anya is clumsy, but as you become Anya Lalita, you will bring out that quality in you. That's your divine self.
Yeah.
So you bring that, because remember, just the bigger journey is that we as humans, we move through the divine levels to over to the light levels and to source. So you have to master and embody that the divine goddess self, you could say. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
You know, years ago, I asked my guru at that time if I could have that name, Lalita, because I was so attracted to her. And mm-hmm. he said yes, but I never really done it. Like, it didn't belong to me. So mm-hmm. I guess it was a process of more and more connection with her. Yeah.
Well, gurus do it in different ways. They give you the name because it's inside you and then brings out, like in my name, because it's already who I am. So it was brought out. It come brought from the deep and then it moves out to the surface. Or some teachers give you the name because you finally have embodied it and then you get it. But mostly it's the other way around. It's actually meant to help you to become it, you know?
Mm. Yeah. But I asked him, he didn't give it to me. I asked him if I could use that name and he said yes, but I never did really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yes, okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Last hand here is Wynonna. Wynonna, hi.
Hi, Ratima. Thank you for this call. Didn't really have a reason to put up my hand, maybe to sit with you, and then, mm-hmm. but while listening in that, what came to me to share was that there's been this deeper surrender to God lately, like just everything, like mm-hmm. anything that comes up, pleasant or unpleasant, whatever, doesn't matter. It just keeps some. And I'm finding that it just brings this inner constant inner smile that, and a sense of something probably I've never experienced in my life before that I can think of is like this inner stability.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this, you know, mm-hmm. just knowing that it's love, right, and that I mm-hmm. am loved, and you know, I am loved, and I am love. It's it's just this deepening into that. Yeah, I just wanted to share that.
that's most important, right? That's and then that's what very few people have. You know, that kind of direct experience of what people call faith or something. You're just having a direct experience to be embedded in and it's all alive and you're supported and it's all okay, right?
Yeah, everything's okay. Like it just doesn't, like nothing, I just know it's all good no matter what is happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not, has everything and yet nothing to do with me, and it's just like God's got me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when I was talking to Mari, right, and Mari, you're still here, yes, is that we start first with a willingness to say, okay, everything that's happening is okay, I just don't experience it this way, but that's the first step, but then you come to the place that you're describing that this is a reality, then it becomes a really, it's like, oh yeah, it's actually really true, everything's okay.
Yeah, yes, thank you, that's perfectly way of describing it, so... Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And may I just sit then with you for a mm-hmm.
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Good. All right, let's just take a deep breath here. And just come into yourself. And just let everything go. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And have a wonderful Sunday. Thanks. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.